Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Compassion International. You can sponsor a child today and release them from poverty by going to compassion.com/sportspectrum. That's the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum. There is no greater gift that you can give to a child than the gift of hope. And you can do that through the great people, the great work at Compassion International. Check out the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and pray about sponsoring a child today.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. It's so good to have you joining us on the program today. We get to bring stories on the intersection of sports and faith. I mean, how lucky am I that I get to be a part of Sports Spectrum and what we get to do here each and every show on the podcast. You can find us at our website, sportspectrum.com. I would recommend going there each and every day where there's articles and devotionals and podcasts updated. Even if you don't have a smartphone, even if you don't use the internet much, the website is the safest place, the best place to go if you're looking for Sports Spectrum content and great resources that you can share with other people. Again, the website, sportspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, I am excited to get to talk to my buddy Austin Adams. Austin went to college at South Florida and was selected in the eighth round back in 2012 by the Angels. Traded to the Nationals in December of 16 and then made his Major League Baseball debut. He's a pitcher, a relief pitcher, in July of 2017 with the Nationals and pitched three seasons there in 2017, 2018, and just a little bit in 2019. But ultimately, that led him to be able to acquire a World Series ring because the 2019 Nationals won it all that season, beating the Astros and winning the World Series. Austin was picked up by the Mariners, traded to the Mariners. That gave him a really cool opportunity and allowed him to pitch three seasons with the San Diego Padres from 2020 to 2022. He had an arm injury at the beginning of 2022 that shut his season down. But then that led him to a conversation with Compassion International, which ultimately led him to coming on a trip with Compassion to the Dominican Republic, a trip that I was able to go on as well with a bunch of people in baseball back in early December, late November of 2022. And I wanted to have Austin on to talk about that trip. What was it like to be in the DR, to see poverty, to work with Compassion? What were some of the things that you saw that really kind of pressed on your heart? God was moving kind of on your spirit. So we talked to Austin about that trip to the DR, about his involvement with Compassion International, and then we hear his testimony, his story of coming to Christ is only less than 2 years old, let's put it that way. So it's fairly new, but yet he is all in. He is sold out and all in for Christ and the gospel, and Austin Adams is a great guy, and I'm excited to have you hear his story today on Sports Spectrum. Take a listen. He is Austin Adams, and he's a Major League Baseball pitcher. Austin, what's going on, buddy? Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me on, man. Just being patient and, just seeing what the Lord has in store for me 2023.
Yes, you're in waiting mode right now to see where God kind of directs you on the baseball field, and we'll see what happens there on the diamond. But you and I, the last time I saw you, we're on Zoom right now, but the last time I saw you was in person about a month and a half ago or so, early December, late November, where we both did something for the first time, and that was take a trip with Compassion International, and we went down to the Dominican Republic. I wouldn't necessarily call it a missions trip, but it kind of felt like that for me. I don't know if it did for you because it was the first time I'd ever really gone overseas and done anything like this. But it was a really cool informational trip to learn and see the work Compassion was doing. What's been on your mind now that it's been a month and a half removed from the trip? What's been on your mind about that trip still when I bring it up and think about, you know, Compassion and being out there?
My wife and I, we talked a lot after that trip and, just how we could team up with Compassion and First and foremost, just how we, just everything that we saw while we were there, and from how compassion goes along with the churches, right along with them, and supports them, and just going in the house visits, and just really learning more about the Dominican Republic and more about compassion and just how important it was to, really just be more relational with people than just, I think sometimes, I know for me, when I think about getting behind an organization or foundation or whatever it may be, sometimes it feels like you're just kind of throwing money at a problem. And maybe that's my own issue, but going on this trip, it was able, I was able to be hands-on and see what compassion is doing, and it was incredible.
Yeah, what was it initially that wanted you to say yes to go on the trip? And then we'll talk about what we saw and kind of some of the things that were maybe highlights for you, being down there. But what was it initially that you wanted to say yes to this trip?
Really, I had no reason to say no. So, and
That's
I
good.
just, yeah, I mean, like, I like maybe that's, not the right answer, but but honestly, I had no reason to say no. My wife and I had no reason to say no. And it was right after PAO and, me rehabbing, my elbow, and it was a great time for us to just go see what compassion is doing. We've been really interested in compassion now. That was our second PAO. So talked a lot to Ken and Ashley, with compassion, the first PAO, and, just been, really learning more about them. And, yeah, we just wanted to see what they were doing. You hear about it at PAO and you see the campaigns they're putting on, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. Like, I would like to get behind that. But then once you go and you see the hope that they're giving to the women, to kids, to families, it's like, I mean, there's no reason why you would ever say no to a trip like that ever again.
Yeah, and there's something about, and it was my first time too with you, and I know that was your first time, but there's something about hearing, but then there's something different about doing or seeing when you know that, we sponsor a child with compassion in my household, and I think it's Dodo from Haiti was our first child. As you know, we sponsored a second child too.
Yeah,
But
that's awesome.
Dodo from Haiti, and we sponsored him, and we had never met him. You read, this is what Dodo's doing, and this is where that money's going. $38 a month to sponsor a child, and it's helping for food and education, and resources and just opportunities for these kids. But you hear it and you're like, okay, good. Like you said, kind of throw money at a cause and help. And I'm not saying that I didn't care or believe in compassion before. But my gosh, I think the second we got off that bus, which got stuck in the mud, but once we got off the bus that got stuck in the mud, right, Austin? That we were literally pushing buses out of the mud, which was quite the indoctrination into this trip for you and
It
I.
really was. That started it off, really.
Was like, is this what's going to happen all week? But once we got into the village and we were inside that little church, and then we veered off and went and started playing baseball with those kids, and I thought, this is real. Like these are actual kids who are just trying to, they're dreaming, but they have opportunity, and they have this platform that compassion has given them to be able to grow in their faith as well. It impacted me big time. What was that like for
For sure.
you?
Yeah, I think, you touched on a few things that, it impacted me, very similarly. Going to see the kids play baseball, and it just became, I don't know, it was a thing where I related to it in the sense that you saw the joy that baseball gave to these kids, and compassion was able to get with these churches, which first and foremost, like, that was so cool to see how the church was like the center of the community and to give hope to the entire community. It's like, oh man, that's awesome. And just how I wish that model was here in the States. And
I know.
But yeah, the seeing the kids have so much fun and just how amazing they were at baseball. That was a lot of fun to see those kids.
What about seeing poverty for the first time? I mean, for me, that was really the first time I had seen poverty, you know, where they didn't have a lot.
No, sorry. I think Ken spoke about it in one of our dinners, you know, just asking that question, you know, and us being vulnerable about like, what is poverty? And I think a lot of people had the same definition before that trip. And that was, you know, people who were homeless. And, you know, after that trip, I was able to see it's kind of this cycle. And, you know, whether it's a, you know, family thing where it takes someone to get out of that cycle. And you saw it there too, just the amount of sponsored kids that just happened to show up while we were at the hotel that we were at. And I forget what her name was, but the neurosurgeon and her story about her being a compassionate sponsored child, and just God placing her with the right sponsor, and how that sponsor in her letters changed that woman's life and motivated her to then become a neurosurgeon. And then there was, you know, four or five other people that were compassion children, and they're telling the same stories. And it was just the orchestrating of, you know, how God's hand was on that trip was incredible.
And communicating too. Like, we had Levy and we had the whole team was there helping translate. And I thought that was such a unique thing. I wish I spoke Spanish. I didn't. I mean, very minimal, you too. So we're like coming up with the one or two words that we know to try and like communicate with these kids. And yet those translators were godsends for us and really helped us. But you saw this universal language when you could ask them questions and they could respond. And yet it was beautiful. I don't know. And yet I talked about poverty, right? They don't know. I think maybe they do know that they're in poverty, but you wouldn't know it by the joy that they had and the hope that they had and the love that they had for each other and for, you know, visitors like you and I. You would never have known that.
For sure. For sure. And I think one thing, I don't know when it was, but it was kind of towards like the middle of it. I was like, you know what? I think we have to be very conscious to not go on these trips and try to turn you know, people into just, I don't know, and just our version of like what our joy is and what our happiness is. And like, you know, like, it's much more about giving these kids and these women and these families actual hope and actual joy, and to give them skills that they're able to go make money. Give them skills where they're able to break out of poverty. And they're asking questions, like the questions that Compassion is asking these kids at the development center is awesome. And they should be asked, you know, around the dinner table here. And I know I've started to ask some questions like that to my daughter, and just asking about the future, like, hey, what would you like to do when you grow up? And which is a fine question. And that question evolves, or well, that answer evolves as they grow older, and God really reveals to them their purpose in life. So,
well, and you're a Major League Baseball pitcher, you've had teammates from the Dominican, I'm sure. But when you got there, I don't know about you, it blew me away how advanced these kids were at 12, 13 years old, and they're really, really good baseball players. So, baseball's they take it pretty seriously down in the DR, even in those villages where we were hanging out at.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was, I just remember talking to a lot of my teammates in the past in the minor leagues and some of the, in the big leagues, and just how they learned how to throw, some of those stories. And I was like, how did you get such a strong arm? It's like, oh yeah, I used to pick up rocks and throw rocks. And I used to pick up mangoes or pick mangoes from my mango tree and just throw them as hard as I possibly could. And it was just like the simplicity of it is what I love. What I loved about the baseball over there is there was, you know, trying to throw the ball hard, trying to be an athlete, and you know, try to hit the ball as hard as you possibly could. And it was simplified instead of a whole bunch of you know, nonsense and mechanics and all this stuff. And it was like, no, like go out, be an athlete, play, have fun, and you see it.
They were having lots of fun. We were
Yeah,
having
they
fun
were.
too with them, which was really fun to do. And maybe just one memory that stands out for you on your trip that you'd share with our audience. And the reason I wanted to have you on, you know, in our audience who's listening in, you know, they hear about sports, they hear about faith, and compassion's been a great partner with us. And I want our audience to hear tangibly what we saw down at the DR and moments that were really transformational, so that they understand when they do give to compassion, and maybe they aren't able to take a trip, you know, to meet children who are living in poverty, but they can know that this is a legit ministry that's really making a gigantic difference in helping others, you know, find hope, find a chance to be released from poverty. So for you, like when you think about this trip, we were down there 4 days, we saw quite a bit crammed into 4 days, including a baseball game, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
A
that
Dominican
was a lot of
game.
fun.
But what was a moment that kind of stands out for you, a specific moment being down there?
There was so much. I think just for me personally, there was a young boy sitting next to me at, I think it was Bate. It was the second Bate that we went to. I forget what one that was. Matalena, I think it was. Bate Matalena. If that's wrong, I'm sorry.
I know, forgive me, I forgot
But
to. I think that sounds right.
yeah. But having lunch with him and well, we were all at the same table, and he was one of the interpreters at Compassion. By the way, like the people that worked in Compassion and were there on the trip with us, like without them, I would not have had the same experience at all, just because being able to ask the questions, be relational. So shout out to all the Compassion workers on that trip. They were absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Scarlett and Levy. We'll shout them out. Scarlett and Levy. They were big.
Scarlett and Levy were awesome. Yeah, they were. But talking to, I forget who it was, it was either Scarlett Levy or there was another one, I forget his name now, but just talking to this kid, and by the end of the dinner or the lunch, he ends up telling the interpreter, just like, hey, let him know that he's my best friend to me. And I was like, what did he say? And you know, he's like, oh yeah, you know, he just wanted you to let him know, let you know that you're his best friend. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like just yeah, that was just that was impactful to me, just to be able to sit down and talk to him and get to know him as a person. And you know, and by the end of that, give him a hug. And you know, I wish I was able to throw on the trip, because I feel like I would have done a lot of throwing.
Yes. Yeah, your wife was very good at saying, okay, you know you're not supposed to be throwing, Austin. So, Jason, watch out and make sure he doesn't throw.
Exactly. So I wanted to. I
I
guess I could have
know.
left-handed, but you know,
Yeah.
but yeah, that was really special to hear that from someone that, you know, quick conversation, probably 5, 10, 15 minutes sitting down, getting to know this guy, this kid. Yeah, that was awesome.
He is Austin Adams. He's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. People can go to compassion.com/sportspectrum is the website. You'll see a list of children there. You can read up about the great work that Compassion does. And if you feel led and feel like God is opening up an opportunity for you to sow into this ministry, you can do that by going to compassion.com/sportspectrum. You can learn all about the great work that they are doing. Wonderful partners. And hey, they brought us together, right, Austin? I mean, they got us on a
Oh
trip
yeah.
to the DR. I will say, being down there, it is, even when we weren't in the villages, right, where we saw poverty, it's different being in another country and just seeing how people are, seeing how that inner city that we were in, La Romana, I think was what the name of it was, it's just different than the US in so many ways. And for me at least, it was a cultural shock in some ways, just to be in somewhere that's completely different than the world that I grew up in. Did you feel the same way?
I don't know. I played baseball down in Venezuela for 2 or 3 months in 2016. So it wasn't too big of a culture shock for me, but yeah, I mean, whenever you go to a new place, and especially when it's a short trip, you try to take so much in, and it is kind of sensory overload. And but yeah, it was, I loved it. Just going down the Dominican Republic and how much they love baseball, and with compassion and baseball, I was like, there's yeah, I'm all
Yeah, it was the perfect match. How did you become a Christian? Like, how long have you been a follower of Christ?
in. So I gave my life to Christ on August 23rd of 2021.
That's
So
recent. That's
yeah,
only a
kind
year or
of
so.
yeah, it is recent. So yeah, the Lord is been teaching me quite a bit, year and a few months, and yeah, I just thank the Lord for saving my life and everything that he's done for me and my family.
Before August, did you believe in God? Did you have any kind of faith? Would you have even told me that you were a Christian without completely having given your life to the Lord? Who was Austin Adams, a couple years ago?
Yeah, I would say I would have said I was a Christian. But talk is cheap, and so
Yeah, that's
it,
true. Yeah.
yeah, so I think the book of James makes it very clear, faith without works is just dead faith. And also in First John, when he speaks about let your love not just be in word, but in deed and action, and it's the gospel is so full of just action. And Christ had to he had to go on that cross. And sorry if I'm kind of going away from the question you asked,
No,
but
you're answering the question. You're good, man.
so I think you can say you're a Christian as much as you want, and you can but if your faith isn't bringing you to first and foremost, repentance. If it's not bringing you to a change in your lifestyle and change in your how you treat those around you, who God has placed in your life, and just your neighbors, to your teammates, to pretty much everyone, to how you speak, then I would say, is that really faith at all? So. Yeah, that's where I was in the past. So,
What was the moment? Like, why? I hate to say why Jesus all of a sudden on that day in August? Like, what was it that led up to that moment? If you'd be willing to share a little bit of just where were you? Was it a baseball moment where you just were, going through stuff? Was it, something at home? Was it something with friends? Or was it just you and God having a moment?
Yeah, I was at a really low point in my life, and there were things, things that I'm ashamed of, and yeah, it just wasn't. Yeah, I was in a low moment in my life, and I needed. I go to, I forget where it is, what gospel it's in, but when this woman is dealing with blood, a blood illness, and she's just stretching out to feel the cloak of Christ, and he turns around and he's like, "Who touched me?" And it's like, "What are you talking about? Like, you're in a sea of people, like everyone's touching you." He's like, "No, like power has left me. Like, who touched me?" And it was her, and just grasping for Christ, and that's where I was. And I praise the Lord that he is so faithful that no matter where you're at, whether your testimony is one of faithfulness or it is a testimony of pure desperation, that he, like Joseph, will pull you out of that pit. And he is so awesome. And that's where I was. I need a lot of help. So, and I praise the Lord that he saved my life.
Wow, I love hearing that. It's funny because, sometimes we share this story. I accepted Christ into my life, and then, I went on and had 45 saves and won four World Series in a row and all the things that are supposed to happen in the good of, sports came from me accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. And yet you have this newfound faith and then all of a sudden you have an injury that you kind of have to walk through. So what was that like, having that injury and kind of having your faith tested really quickly here, even though it had been, less than a year since you had started following the Lord. And then you have this sort of difficult season for both you yourself, but also going through sports, and going through being a baseball player, you have a difficult season being injured. What was that like?
I think very early on, after giving my life to Christ, I made it a point to get through the New Testament by the end of that season in 2021. So I read through the whole New Testament, and I was just on fire. And I never had previous church experience before this, so I didn't believe this prosperity gospel. I didn't believe, all these, man-centered gospel, all these things that could possibly pop up, or religion. So just reading the Bible and the New Testament, God doesn't, Jesus isn't like, hey, you're going to have a really comfortable life and I'm going to give you everything that you want. And so it's, not there. I haven't found that verse yet. But yeah, it was, so when you say my faith being tested, there were times I was like, what is going on? I've given my life to you. I'm being faithful to you. My actions are matching up. And, really what I kept hearing from the Lord he was building me back up, and it was, he had to strip down a lot of the old me and whatever idols were, whatever things I used to worship in the past. And he had to build me up and to be renewed. And so through the injury, I saw that as a blessing, because, my arm had, been bothering me a little bit. And I saw that just God's provision over, my life and over my family's life to give us time together that we never really had during the season because we're traveling so much, and to get healthy and strong and back to throwing again. So
yeah, it's almost like a correlation between your personal faith journey and your physical journey as a baseball pitcher trying to build up your arm again. It's very similar. Like you said, it stripped down, everything that you had been previously to August of 21, and he was building you back up. And here you are now kind of stripped down with this arm. I mean, you couldn't even throw a baseball when we were in the DR because you were trying to rehab properly to get ready for another season. Do you see that? Was God kind of showing you this correlation, this parallel between him working on you spiritually and you going through what you're going through physically?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, just the whole, building up, being, nude and, or being renewed and being, what is it in Galatians, clothing ourselves with Christ. And, yeah, man, it's just, I would like, I tell people I was like in a pressure cooker, like an Instapot, and the Lord just had me. And I was just, he was just teaching me a whole bunch of stuff that I should have learned a long time ago. But that's where I was. I was in an Instapot pressure cooker. And yeah, I mean, listen, that's, I think you have to be very weary of, after you're giving your life to Christ, it's now, then religion can start coming in where it's this, Pharisaic, thought process of, now I have to be perfect and I have to be a certain way. And it's, absolutely there are things that should be lining up, but, yeah, man, it's a walk. It's a walk. And I think Paul, one of my favorite things that Paul writes, I forget what letter it's in, but, we should move on from, the spiritual milk and laying the foundation of repentance. And, and he encourages that church to not just continue to screw up and lay this foundation of repentance, but to move on to greater things. And so that's where I was. Sorry for rambling. I feel like I ramble a lot. So
Austin, it's a podcast. You're allowed to ramble on podcasts. Yeah, this is perfect. It's like our bus trips, right? We had those 45-minute bus trips into the villages. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that you shared with me on the bus trip that I thought would be fun to talk about was the quirk that allowed you to have a World Series ring, because it was 2017 and you were a member of the Washington, I'm sorry, 2019, and you were a member of the Washington Nationals, albeit briefly, but that still counts to the point where it led you to get a World Series ring. So please share that story.
So my time with the Nationals was not the best, learning how to fail at the big leagues. And I guess I didn't really learn because I just kept doing it over and over again. So, I just remember getting called up from Fresno, California, pitching in Miami. Didn't go well, getting optioned again. I remember pitching again in Fresno and giving up a few runs, and then I came in that night or after the game, and manager told me I'd been DFA'd, and I was like, okay. So I just remember being in a dog park in Fresno, California, with my drive line or tap plyo care balls, and I'm throwing these rubber balls against the wall, and there's a bunch of homeless people in that park, and they're looking at me like, what is this crazy guy with these balls throwing against these walls doing? And I just, in that moment, I realized that I care way too much about what other people think about me. And this was before even I was a Christian, and I cared way too much about what everyone thought about me. And then I ended up getting traded to the Seattle Mariners. They gave me a great opportunity to fail at the big leagues and learn how to fail and succeed. And I went on a good run with them, and I loved my time with Seattle, and such a great front office and just great coaches there. And then the Nationals won the World Series, and I was like, wow, this is cool. And then they reached out and they were like, hey, would you like a World Series? And at first I was like, oh, I don't feel like I've earned that. I pitched literally one inning and gave up a run in May, in the middle of May. Like, I don't really feel like that's worthy of a World Series ring. And my wife was like, if you're not getting it, get it for me. So I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. So I'll get it. And so,
but that's how it works, right? Like, in, I was always wondering, if you pitched an inning, right, which is basically what you did, at all during a team that contributed to win, to helping them win a, a World Series, or a team that ended up going and winning a World Series, you're eligible for a ring. Now, I don't know, do all teams do that? Have you asked around and say, does every team do this? Or is this kind of commonplace within Major League Baseball that you know of?
Yeah, I haven't asked around, but I think that is pretty common. So it's a cool ring too. It has like the baby shark on the inside with, I think it was Gerardo Pardo, Parra, who had that walkout. But yeah, like, what an incredible postseason to watch. And so yeah, that was cool.
You know how long players play and are playing 162 every year for many years, decades, and don't have a ring. And even though you say you didn't do a lot to earn it, by the way, the Emmy that's over my right shoulder, I think I told you that story on the bus. Remember
that
story?
You did tell me this story.
I did nothing to earn that Emmy, but when they told me I was getting one, I said, I'm taking it. And it's become this illustration now to share the gospel with teenagers, because it's not about anything we can earn, right? It's about Christ's free gift to us. You got to do the same thing with the World Series ring, my friend. You have to.
No, you're absolutely right. I remember having that conversation with you, and I was like, oh, wow, this is exactly what that World Series ring represents.
Right.
So
yeah,
So yeah,
So wear it around.
Thank you for thank you for sharing that. I don't know if I'll wear it around, but
if you're ever asked to speak to a youth group, how's this? Wear the ring and do the ring story to get into your salvation story.
And then Ephesians 2, which exactly. We are saved by grace. So
not by our works, but by faith. Thus anyone should boast. Yeah, absolutely. Got to do that one.
Yep.
All right, my last question, which I like to ask for most players that come on, because everybody has, when they get to the big leagues, a sort of welcome to the big leagues moment, you know, that debut that you make, that experience of getting the call. What was that like for you to find out? Because it was with Washington, by the way, right? In 2017, when you made your debut. Yeah.
Yeah, 2017. So what are you asking? Are you asking like when I finally felt like I
want to know it all. Like how did, what was the call like from the manager that called you in when you were in the minors, you know, seeing your jersey hung up for the first time, getting in your first game, like try to, you know, put all that together in a few minutes.
All right. Yeah. I'll try not to ramble. So got called up 2017 from Syracuse, New York. Me and Trevor Gott, great teammate, great guy. And I just remember we were flying to Cincinnati. And I just remember being so nervous that entire flight. And I don't know how this happened, but my belt ended up breaking. And so I ended up going into one of those kiosks in Chicago, because that's where our layover was, and I bought a belt, and I was like, man, like this is so show and like whatever. But I ended up getting to Great American Ballpark, actually ended up getting to Cincinnati Airport, and my bags didn't make it. And so my baseball stuff and my personal belongings didn't make it on the flight. For some reason, they left it in Chicago. There was like a glitch. So I remember getting to Great American Ballpark. I didn't have any of my stuff, and I'm wearing contacts now, but you know, I'm wearing glasses, and I show up and I was like, hey, listen, I don't have anything. And Dusty Baker's the manager at this time. And he's like, listen, man, like Dusty is such a great guy, and I love Dusty. And he's like, man, listen, I know you just got called up to the big leagues, but you got to bring some stuff when you get called up. Like, we can't just give you everything. And so that was a big joke. And my debut was nothing to boast about. I didn't even record it out. So first batter, broken bat to shortstop. I forget who was playing shortstop because we were winning pretty big. For the Nationals, yeah, we were winning pretty big, and I think I forget who it was, but you know, throwing error, and I was like, oh, that's not good. And so I started getting in my own head, and I would say finally, like when I felt like I like made it or felt like a big leaguer, was getting to Seattle, and it was really, you know, a last chance for me. And just they really had a lot of faith in me and believed in me and sat me down very early on with my tenure with them. It was just like, we see this. We can see you being a back end guy, high leverage situation type of guy. And after that conversation, I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, like I do have the stuff. It took just one conversation with Jerry DePoto, Scott Servais, and Paul Davis, who was the pitching coach at the time, and them showing faith in me and me, them being like, listen, like you have all the stuff and we believe in you. And this is where we think you could be by the end of this year. And then I just started believing in that, and they started putting me out there, and I stopped caring so much about every single day was the most important day. Cause if not, you know, I was going to get sent down. So, that's when I really felt like I had like made it to the big leagues. It was in 2019. Once I would say about a month in with the Mariners.
Interesting. So that's 2 years, almost 3 years later that you start to sort of settle in. Like I belong here. There's, you know, these guys are giving me confidence and let's go. And then 3 more years with San Diego, well, 2 technically. And then 22 last year was just a couple games, and then you had the injury. But yeah, man. So 23, this will be it for me, and then we'll say goodbye. Is, you know, the uncertainty. You know, you don't have a team as we record this. So what's got to kind of, you know, impressing? I mean, you probably have to. You have to learn patience through all of this, right? But like, what's God showing you as you wait to see where he might lead you?
I think the biggest thing that I'm learning, first and foremost, like you touched on it, patience. But secondly, like our who God sees us as and who we are in Christ, our circumstances do not dictate that. So whether we are signing a new huge deal, whether we have, 10 years in the big leagues, whether you never made it to the big leagues, whether no matter who you are, like your circumstances do not dictate who you are in Christ. And that is the biggest thing that I'm learning right now, where, my identity, unfortunately, still after giving my life to Christ, was wrapped up in being a baseball player. And when you've done something for so long, and you've enjoyed doing something for so long, that becomes kind of a part of you. And but yeah, like through getting hurt, going to Arizona this year and being away from the team, seeing them have so much success, not being a part of that, it was like, hey, listen, like all things are going to work out for good here. And whether that's me signing with another team this year, and I pray that happens, me, going into a different field, whenever that is, whenever God calls me away from baseball and puts me into a different mission field. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I think I like talking to people when they're in the waiting. You know, when it's easy to talk to you after and say, "See what happened? God was so
Oh yeah, of
cool." And
course.
it's like
Oh yeah.
God's still great while you're waiting, and not just when you get whatever is going to come on the back end of it. So,
For
listen,
sure.
buddy, it was great to hang with you for a few days in the DR. You and Alex are awesome. Your wife, Alex, and I hope we get to hang out again in person, but certainly just having this conversation was a nice reminder of how great those 4 days were, being in the DR and what God did. So I appreciate you, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jason. Thank you, man.
And many thanks to Austin Adams for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He is a great guy, dynamite guy. Him and his wife, Alex, are wonderful people. And it was really neat to be able to spend 4 days with them in the Dominican Republic. Awesome weather. It was warm. It was hot. It was, you know, in the 80s. But man, it was wonderful to be around such amazing people. The people from Compassion were incredible. The kids in the Compassion program, the mothers, the support staff, all amazing. And if you wanna sow into a ministry, I'm telling you, and you want to know where your money is going, I saw where it's going, and it's making a huge difference in these kids' lives. So go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and pray about sponsoring a child. A great way to sow into this ministry is sponsoring a kid, you know, that you'll be able to provide a, you know, a tax-deductible donation to help release them from poverty each and every month. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and you can sponsor a child right there. And again, thanks to Austin Adams for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well. Do us a favor, click that subscribe or that follow button, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, so that you don't miss any more conversations like this one with Austin. And then tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Let them know that we exist. Let them know that there is a ministry, a media company that wants to bring stories of sports and faith to the forefront. We want to keep Jesus in the sports conversation. And that's what we try to do each and every time we bring to you a Sports Spectrum podcast. So thanks for tuning in. We love you guys, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.